Thank you, brother, for your kind words of welcome, and I apologise for being late and causing you a wee bit of concern. I was in good time, but somehow I took a wrong turn at the roundabout as you came into Crossgar and ended up in Kilmore. And fortunately for me, I asked the right people for the directions, so that can be a bit precarious at times, asking for a free Presbyterian church, as you know, really. But it's good to be here, folks. It's good to be here to share with you a word of testimony about how the Lord has saved me and how the Lord has kept and how the Lord has blessed and how he has guided throughout those years of salvation. And I have much to thank the Lord for. Always before I come to give a word of testimony, it's always good to ponder and to think and to meditate upon where you are and what a great blessing it is to be found in the Lord and to be saved. It is a rich and a great blessing, and I have much to thank the Lord for. I want you to open up the Word of God with me, please, in a couple of places. First of all, in Psalm 34. Just a couple of readings from the Word of God, scripture readings that are very important to me in my testimony. Psalm 34, I'm going to read the first few verses of Psalm 34, beginning to read at verse 1. And the beginning of Psalm 34 in the verse 1, the Word of God says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And go with me, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans in the chapter 5, and again, just two or three verses there. Romans chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 6. And these verses say, For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'll repeat verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you know, I think, folks, in particular with that verse 8, I grew up in a home that was not a Christian home in Macarthur, County Londonderry. I'm from the Macclesfield Free Church, and I've lived in Macclesfield some 24, 25 years. As I grew up in Macarthur, just in front of the Glen Sheehan Pass there in County Londonderry, I grew up in a home that was not a Christian home. But amazingly, you know, I was just talking to a friend the other night, and we were discussing about our background and how we grew up and everything else. And he asked me the question, did your parents ever go to church? And I said, no, they didn't. The only time I remember my father in the house of God was for a funeral or for a wedding. And likewise my mother. But we were sent to Sunday school. But this is a verse of scripture that hung in my bedroom wall from when I was an infant till I left home at the age of 22 whenever I was married. And that's amazing, you know. Because if you had asked me about anything to do with scripture, probably this is the only verse that I would have known. The only verse that I would have known. That's a wonderful verse, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And night after night I lay in my bed as a young boy and as a young teenager and even as a young man looking at that verse of scripture. And it's wonderful. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But I grew up, as I say, in Macarthur, a family of six of us there was. Three boys first and three girls, and I was the second boy in the family. But I would say this, even though I didn't grow up in a Christian home, far from it, that I had many, and I thank the Lord for it. I often say this in my testimony, I have much to thank the Lord for with regards to godly influences in my life. I think about relatives, I think about friends, and I think about neighbours, and I think about work colleagues all through my life. And I want to tell you about some of those folks tonight, because by way of giving a word of testimony, folks, I hope and pray tonight that there are those that are in our meeting that are unsaved and out of Christ, without the Saviour, that this testimony, the Lord will use this testimony to point you to himself, to point you to the Saviour, who can save, does save, longs to save. And not only that, but for believers here as well, that this testimony will be a word of encouragement, because I know fine well, as you do, that we need encouragement in dark days. We all need encouragement in our walk with the Lord. And that's what I hope that this message is for all here tonight. An encouragement and a pointer to the Saviour. I think of my grandmother. I'll tell you about her first and foremost as a godly influence in my life. See, I grew up in a housing estate in Macara. I say there were six in her family. And my granny just lived across the way. I had aunts and uncles and cousins who lived in the same housing estate. And I always say this in my word of testimony, that we have a pretty large family background. And I had a lot of cousins that lived nearby. Not just nearby in the housing estate, but nearby villages and towns. Very close-knit. And I have something in the region of 40 or 50 first cousins, so that's quite a clan. As you all know, the Stuart clan is big, but it's very big around Macara. So it was. But my grandmother's place, our house, was always a place where the family would have congregated through the week or whatever, and it was a great place where you call a bit of crack and a bit of fun. But I remember profoundly a change in her life way back in, I don't remember, sometime in the mid to late 70s. My granny started to go into a wee meeting in Macara. And I remember coming home and hearing about her getting saved, about putting her trust in Christ. And all of a sudden, her home was a different home. It used to be a place where aunts and uncles and cousins all would have met. And she was different. When the Lord came into her life, there was a great change. A mighty and a wonderful change. And Maya, she used to chastise us about some of her chat. And she used to rebuke us. And from that day forward, remind us of her need to be saved. A godly influence in my life. I think of a young friend that I had. A young friend by the name of Ian. You know, I grew up, I say, in a family, and if truth be told, a neighbourhood, there's very little of the gospel. I think all the time whenever I'm testimony of the young men or the young fellas that I run around with, probably a gang or so of 12, 13, 14 young fellas, all around the same age as me, and all with very, very similar backgrounds. It's amazing what we learn from hindsight. If I think of those young fellas I ran around with, their situation with regards to the gospel and their families was identical to mine. None of their families were church-going families. None of their families had time for the things of God. But there's this young lad, one young lad, he lived just outside the town, just on the fringes of the town. And he was a Christian lad. He shared a passion for football like I had. He loved to play football. He supported the same team as me. And we were good friends because of football. But he was a Christian. And he had a wonderful testimony. And he was different. You know, I think about it. And again, this may be a word of encouragement to young fellas or young girls here. As you're growing up and you're at school and you're out there and you're in the world but not of the world. What a wonderful testimony he had. See, I observed. I grew up as a young, unsaved fella, teenager. I used to observe Christians. I observed him. And he had a wonderful testimony because his testimony was real. It was true. On the pitch, on the football pitch or off the football pitch, he was different. His language was different. His behaviour was different. His testimony was real. He was a real Christian. And I befriended that young man that young fellow from an early age, and we became very close friends. Again, looking back, I thank the Lord for a godly influence in my life. My grandmother, a friend. I think of neighbours, and this will be relevant to everyone in the meeting tonight. Neighbours in my neighbourhood. See, they're in that neighbourhood where I saw a lot of ungodliness. I grew up in a home that knew the perils or the dangers and the struggles of alcohol. Likewise, neighbours as well. Same situation. Where the home could have been a place of peace and tranquility for a week, the weekend could have brought trouble and pain. But there was one family in our neighbourhood that was a Christian family. Mother and father saved, and every one of the five children saved. And they went along to I can say this, I would say without fear of contradiction, I would say that family's willingness, determination and love for the souls of us young fellows was the means where I first heard the gospel. They used to invite us along to little Sunday afternoon, a little small congregation in Macara, I think it was an Elam church they went to. They used to take us along to the Sunday afternoon meetings, and even though I wasn't going or rarely went to Sunday school, I would have went along to those meetings with that family, and there I first heard about my need to be saved. A faithful family. A faithful family. So I'm pretty sure I'm talking to people here tonight who maybe are a Christian family, living in a neighbourhood such as I lived in, and maybe you feel you're of no importance or no significance. You know, it's amazing. It was years later down the line, when I put my trust in the Lord. But I never forgot the love of that family. never forgot that they had prayed, the day I took time to invite me to the house of God, where I first heard of a need to be saved, first heard about the blood of Christ, first heard about His love for me. A godly friend, a godly grandmother, a godly family. And I think also, friends, you know, if, you see, before I move on, when I think about that family and they're inviting me into that little, myself and my brothers and my sisters and my friends and everything else, a real burden had for us. See, to give you an indication of how little time that I spent in the house of God, I've thought about this many times. Looking back over the years, so little time that I spent at Sunday school or in the house of God, I don't recall the name of any Sunday school teacher that ever taught me. I remember going to Sunday school, but I don't remember the name of any Sunday school teachers. So it gives you an idea of how little time that I spent in Sunday school. Didn't want to be there. You know, and I must say this too, this is very, very true, that as I became a little bit older, a teenager, a young man, I remember becoming very embarrassed about a certain thing which drove me to church. Now, I'll explain to you. The church that I belonged to in Matara was a Presbyterian church, and I remember well the financial report came out every year, and the financial report contained the family name, and beside the family name, how much you'd paid in. I became very embarrassed by the fact that we paid nothing in, year after year. So, strange but very true, I used to go to church to put something in, albeit a few times in a year, just so that at the end of the year, the financial report wasn't quite as embarrassing. It's very true. But you know, I don't recall hearing the gospel at that church as I was growing up. I spent very little time in it. I heard the gospel from godly influences in my life. Friends. Neighbours. Family, as in my grandmother. And I'll say this, folks, also too. And this I really have to stress every time I testify to God's people, to encourage you. I also heard the gospel through faithful servants of the Lord who were involved in gospel outreach work. And I specifically talk about the gospel tracts. Now I know everywhere I go to testify, and it's no different here tonight in Crossgar, there are those of you that are involved, have been involved, and are maybe thinking about getting involved in outreach work or whatever, where it means the distribution of gospel tracts. And it's a hard work. It's difficult. And I know you get much ridicule. And I know they're torn up in your face or they're taken off you. But I have to thank the Lord for implanting, I suppose, in my heart a desire to read the gospel tracts. I was an avid reader, as I am to this day, whenever I was a young man. As a young man, I read much of the world's filth, vile rubbish. But it was only the Lord that implanted in my heart a desire and a curiosity for the things that were contained in the gospel tracts. And I used to be fascinated by these little short stories about how men and women and boys and girls had been saved. And I did. I went out of my way to get them. I remember band parades crossing the street, maybe to get one. Not brave enough or courageous enough to stand on the street and read it, but to slip it into my back pocket and to read it at a later date. And again, the Lord speaking to me. And again, the Lord telling me, reminding me that I needed to be saved. Again, the Lord in His mercy, striving after my soul. God was good. Can I encourage you folks? And here I am, living evidence that, you know, many of the people, I don't recall any of the names of people who gave me the gospel tracts, but the Lord planted His word in my heart. The seed was sown in my heart through those little gospel tracts. But still I went on in the things of the world, still I craved after. I was this best sum it up about my life as a young teenager. See, as a young boy in Macaragh, it might have been a small town, in County Lochinderry. Yes, it was a polarised town, like much of the towns in the 70s. There was what we would call the top end of the town, which had been the Roman Catholic end of town, and the bottom end of the town was the Protestant end of town. And we, and myself and my two brothers, we get into a lot of trouble as young fellas, even in a small town. And I look back over those years and I think about how painful that must have been for my mother. Because, you know, many times the police were at your doorstep or at your front door because we get into petty trouble, whatever, but whenever the policeman's approaching your front door in the 70s, and a lot of people know what I'm talking about here, your mother always thought the worst. And that was a painful thing. It's not until you're older and with a family of your own that you realise some of the trouble and the torment and the trial that you caused your parents. Yeah, we were in a lot of trouble. My older brother was in so much trouble that my father banished him to my grandmother's house away in the country somewhere for about 2 years, and subsequently, he went to the army, so we got rid of him very quickly, my older brother. But trouble. trouble because of sin. We fell deeper and deeper into sin as young men. You know, we ended up in court. We ended up in all sorts of trouble. But I can still thank the Lord. The Word of God says that His Spirit will not always strive after man. But I thank God for His continual following after me. Following after me. I was reckless. I was foolish. I was riotous. I think of the Word of God where we read about in the parable about where it talks about the young man out there in the far country where he wasted his substance with riotous living. And that covers a multitude of sins, folks. And if I look back over my life as a young teenager and as a young man, it was riotous. And it was reckless. And it was foolish. I had a talent for playing football. I had a passion for football. But never was an ambitious young man as far as football was concerned. But I ended up as a young lad getting the opportunity to go and play for a top Irish league club in Belfast, Glentoran Football Club. I went there with much trepidation. And again, this leads me on to another what I would call a godly influence in my life. It's amazing. Looking back, we can see the hand of God. I'm sure there are believers here tonight would say likewise. Looking back over the years, it's not until we look back that we see the hand of God in a lot of things in our life. And I went down to Glentoran, fearful, yes. Did I think it was ever going to be a success? No. He says, I'll give it a go. And I went down and things went really well. But I remember again, and this is again an indication of, again, the Lord moving in my life. Because I went in there, and in the changing rooms at Glentoran Football Club, I came into contact with a player who was a Christian. And let me give you a wee bit of the background of my only knowledge of him prior to that was, because in 1982, I went to Glentoran in 1982, October 1982, but in May 1982, Northern Ireland were playing in the World Cup. And some of the older men in here tonight will remember, if you're football fans, that during the 1982 World Cup, Northern Ireland had a player who refused to play on the Lord's Day. His name was Johnny Jemison. Johnny Jemison was playing at Glentoran, but I didn't know him. But in May of 1982, following the World Cup with a real passion, my own country playing on it, I remember saying to myself whenever I read in the papers about this guy refusing to play on the Sabbath, I said, what a header. What a nutcase. But here was I, some months later, sharing the same changing rooms with this fella, and he was far from being a header and far from being a nutcase. In fact, he was a lovely fella. And again, I observed. Again, he was the Lord leading or putting before me another Christian. Not only in the football changing rooms, but in my workplace. Christians, people who I observed, people who I watched closely, people who I found were real. Yes, loving, kind. And I thank God for that. And I observed Johnny, like I did every other Christian that I came into contact with, but still I rebelled. And I would say this, that I went to Glentoran in October 1982. I remember one of my friends saying to me, he says, well, hey, give it 3 years or so, 2021, you could end up in the first team. I said, great, if that's the case. Things went so well that I was in the first team within 6-7 months. Success abounded. Success as an individual. Success as far as the team was concerned. But I will say this, that those years where my football career was beginning to take off and I was working in my normal job in Macrofelt in the construction industry with money in my pocket, a young man got out into the world, I fell deeper and deeper into sin. And I love my sin. You know, I think about too, and I say this as a warning, I was a young fellow who grew up, and as I gave a little indication earlier on about the home that I grew up in and about the troubles that alcohol brought to you. I grew up despising alcohol because of the trouble that it brought to the home. But as a young man with money in his pocket and seeming with the whole world out in front of him, I became a young fellow who despised alcohol. And I remember throwing drink down the sink in the home to get rid of it. The sooner I get rid of the drink, the sooner I get rid of the trouble. I became a young man with money in his pocket, sitting, drinking at the bar, so not throwing it down the sink, but throwing it down my throat. And falling deeper and deeper into sin. Falling deeper and deeper into sin. But I thank God for his hand upon me through all. I look back on those years and how if the Lord had come or called me, I was hellbound. See, I looked upon myself as a decent fella. Saw myself as having a multitude of friends. You know, dead on. Liked a bit of a laugh. But I was so far from the Lord. So far from the Lord. I will say this. And again, it's only of the Lord. I remember thinking my mother used to be. My mother used to be what I would call a bedside Bible reader. My mother had no time for church. Praise the Lord, she's saved today. As are others in my family. But I remember picking up a habit from her that I used to see her reading the Bible occasionally at night. And for some strange reason, I used to get a little Bible. But there weren't too many Bibles in our home. And occasionally, how often, I'm not sure, but occasionally just reading the Bible. And that's all it was, just reading it, putting it down. Maybe a week later, reading it, putting it down. But you know, friends, I'll say this, that those years of young manhood were rebellious. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for keeping his hand upon me. 1987 was the year that I was married. It was also the year that I was saved. And I thank the Lord. It's amazing how the Lord moves. I think about it especially of March, the early winter months of 1987. And the older folks may remember 1987. It was around about March or February 1987. We had in the news, there was the news about the Zeebrugge disaster in 1987. There was also the news hit the whole media about the awful AIDS epidemic across the world. And I remember being profoundly struck by what was before me around about the same time. It's amazing how the Lord can stop you in your tracks. See, at this time in my football career, everything was so good. I had represented my country at different levels. I had, one of the top young players in the country. Success abounding. And so carried away, I suppose, my own self-importance. But how the Lord stopped me in my tracks. I observed those two incidents I'm talking about. And I looked at many who had perished that night in an instant. In an instant. In that awful disaster where the ferry left Zeebrugge in Belgium and didn't get to the British shores where many were. Many perished. And I looked also at the news that had hit our television screens about the AIDS epidemic. Those that perished in an instant and those that perished over a long period of time and an awful slow death. And I looked at both incidents and I says, one or either of those could be very, very easily be me because of the life that I was living. The fool that I was. See, I looked back and I thought about, and it was only the Lord working in my heart, bringing me under awful conviction of sin. I looked back and particularly of an incident on my 18th birthday, I was coming back from Liverpool with my Christian friend, Ian. And I remember well being coming back home after a match on my 18th birthday on the old Liverpool Belfast boat. And we had a force 10 gale that night on my 18th birthday in October 1982. And it was awful. It was the most awful storm. And I often remember whenever I read about the storms in the scripture. Think about the story of Jonah, how the mariners were afraid and everything else. And I was so afraid that night. I was sick, but I was more afraid. And my young Christian friend was neither troubled nor concerned. But I was a young man who was under deep conviction of sin. I did not know where this had come from. I did not know why I was troubled. I looked at others who were friends. I looked at others who had lived a life similar to me. And I looked at them and I would say, oh, why am I so concerned? Why am I so burdened with this? That it was the Lord dealing with my heart. It was the Lord dealing with me. You know, I think about colleagues at that time. I will say this, friends, before I go any further, that when I say under conviction of sin at that time, I remember well I had in my possession a little Gideon's New Testament that you used to get. I think you still do it. First year at school. And on that was April 1977. This was March 1987. And I'd hardly ever read that little Gideon's New Testament. But here was I outside the place of work. Under conviction of sin. Searching this little New Testament. You know, at that, and some of you folks may know these little Gideon's New Testaments. There was a little portion of this little New Testament at the back where it says where to find help when in trouble, where to find help when in distress, where to find help when afraid, where to find help when concerned. And I needed help. I was so afraid, I was so ashamed, I was so burdened, friend, because of my sin. For the first time in my life, I feared eternity without the Lord. And I was afraid. I'd lived a sinful life. And the old hymn says, where could I go but to the Lord? I quite simply with tears, cried unto the Lord. You couldn't have got me into the house of God. And I mean that. You couldn't have got me into the house of God. I told many a lie to stay out of a mission. I told many a lie to stay out of the house of God. But the Lord got me without getting out of the house of God. The Lord saved me. I just quite simply one day in a quiet place, found a quiet place of my own and simply cried unto the Lord to save me. And folks, whenever I say cry, I mean cry. Not ashamed to say it, at 22 years of age, cried unto the Lord. I was so afraid. So afraid of the judgment, the righteous judgment of the Lord. But you know, I had known enough. I had read enough through the gospel tracts. I had read enough in the little Gideon's New Testament. I had seen enough and heard enough over the years that the only thing that I needed was the Savior and to call upon Him to save me. The Word of God says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's all I did. I thank the Lord He saved me. When I think about those godly influences, I think of my young friend, Ian. I had to tell people whenever I could see it. I had to tell them. I sought out Ian. They say I rarely went to church. But I knew where he'd be sitting at in the church, and I went and sat beside him that Sunday morning. I says, Ian, I've news for you. I've got saved. And again, this I want to tell these two stories simply to encourage God's people. And I could almost see the tears in his eyes. He's a young man, the same age as me, 22 years of age. And he says, Alfie, he says, we've been praying for you for years. When he says we, he meant his mother and his father and his sister. I used to frequent their home pretty often as a young boy. And the Lord had answered their prayers. I'm pretty sure he looked at me. He went on to be a teacher. And for the 4 or 5 years, intervening years from we were young lads palling about together, he went on to be a teacher. We didn't really see each other a lot. And he followed my football career with great interest. But he kept on praying. And folks, the Lord does answer prayer. I'm pretty sure he looked at me many a time and, yes, happy with what the success that I was enjoying as a young footballer, but deeply concerned about the life that I was living, far from Christ. Johnny Jameson. I had been playing with Johnny for 5 years by this stage. And I sought him out at training. And any of you fellas that know anything about football, you know that in training you usually warm up running in twos or threes, whatever, and I had to get beside Johnny that night. I had to tell him this news that I had put my trust in the Saviour. So we're running around and warming up, and I said, Johnny, I have news for you. It probably wasn't the best place to tell anybody that sort of news, but I had to tell him quickly. I says, I've got news for you. I says, I've got saved. I've put my trust in Christ. And Johnny, being the effervescent and lively character he was, he says, he just let out this one mighty hallelujah. And everybody, I think, knew from that moment on that something serious had happened. And he says, Alfie, you don't mind if I tell the rest of the lads? I says, I do not care. I'm so glad that I'm saved. I'm so glad that the burden has lifted. I'm so glad that I belong to Christ. And you know, friends, what a wonderful Saviour we have. Again, Johnny says, I must relate this to you. Johnny says, Alfie, we've been praying for you. By that he meant him and another guy for 5 years, since the day in our eye went in through the gates at Glentoran Football Club. The Lord answered prayer. The Lord answered prayer. Folks, I'm pretty sure there are people here tonight. I know there are people here tonight praying for loved ones for years. For years. And you're maybe wondering, and you maybe feel you're going deeper and deeper into the world and into sin. Just keep praying. Keep believing. There was no one as dark and as I say, you couldn't have got me into the house of God. I'm sure they wondered, you know, I was a liar. Or have somewhere else to go, have something else to do. Couldn't have got me. Maybe you've invited someone here tonight. Maybe you can't get someone in. Leave it with the Lord. Leave it with the Lord. But you know, friends, I thank the Lord for saving my soul. I have still had many problems in my life, but the Lord, bit by bit, one by one, delivered me from all my fears, as we heard earlier on. We have a great Saviour. We have a great Lord. I thank the Lord. As I say, I was married in 1987. I have two kids at home. Well, they're not kids anymore. One of them's 22. My son's 22. My daughter is 19 years of age. My son is like his father. He now is playing semi-professional football at Irish League level. But I thank God for household salvation. I thank God for taking me to Macclesfield Free Church, I remember well. And again, it's amazing what the Lord can do, brother. I remember driving up past Macclesfield Free Church, and this is true, my first car. And I remember many times, I knew nothing about the Free Church. I knew nothing about what was going on inside it. I knew nothing about what was being spoken about in the pulpit. But I remember driving up past and saying, what a bunch of headers. And yet the Lord led me there as soon as I was saved. I'm a header. I'm now one of those headers. It's amazing. I know I was led there by just the invitation of a friend. And I thank God, for I have been richly blessed by the Lord with wonderful fellowship and wonderful preaching in Macclesfield. And through that, we knew household salvation. My son and my daughter at an early age. And I learned that lesson, valuable lesson, about just keep on praying. My wife grew up in a home where she was sent to Sunday school, knew the gospel inside out, but she wasn't saved. Her backgrounds were completely different. But I just kept praying for her, and some 9 years later, she came to faith in Christ. We knew household salvation, and I thank God for that, because, friends, all through my walk with the Lord, there have been the mountaintop experiences, there have been the valley experiences, but there was no valley like the valley that we encountered just a little over 3 years ago. Now, this is difficult to talk about, but talk about it we must. It's my testimony. It's my life. About September 2008, we got the word that our father wasn't well. My dad, we feared that he had cancer. He went for tests. And on the morning of his tests, I remember well, my brother rang me to say, yes, it's what we feared. This was September 2008. And I got the news that morning. And my dad wasn't saved. And my brother says, yes, that's what we feared, it's cancer. 10 minutes after that, I got a phone call from my wife, Lorraine, to say, well, what's the news? I said, the news is what we thought, it's cancer. My words to Lorraine that morning were, I remember in this plane, where, and this is September, I said, this is going to be a hard road from now to Christmas. It's amazing how we put things into these time frames and everything else. And friends, it was to be a hard road from September to Christmas, because not 3 weeks after that, my own wife was taken into God's eternity. Just like that. My father lived for another year. And we lost Lorraine so suddenly. She was taking my son and my daughter to Ballymena. He was going to play. I was away elsewhere in Belfast. And she was so healthy. As far as the human frame is concerned. But in an instant, she was gone. Her final words driving the car that day, my son was in the passenger seat, my daughter was in the back seat, her final words were, I feel faint. And with that, she was gone. But thank God she was saved. It has been the most difficult trial imaginable. It was the most difficult time, and still is, friends, to be honest with you. But I thank God for His grace through it all. I have seen my two children witness that day. There's an element of me who was glad that I didn't see that day. There's another part of me who wished I had been there. But it's all part of God's plan. And we just trust the Lord with all these things. But I have witnessed, Aaron was 18 on that day, Alana was 16 on that day. They witnessed their mother being taken home so suddenly. But I've also witnessed them growing closer to the Lord. And I have much to thank the Lord for. The both of them have not rebelled. The both of them have not charged God foolishly. And I am so thankful for that. So thankful for that. It has been a heartbreaking time. But I must share with you this, friend, because there were times for months afterwards where it was so difficult. And the Lord was so good. And I must tell you this story for him. There was one morning in particular. There were many mornings where it was so hard even to get out of bed to go on, to go to work. And one morning in particular, I remember well, it was so hard. And I remember praying to the Lord, even before I put my foot out of the bed. My first waking thought was, Lord, help me. This is so tough. And I went into work that morning. Thank God the Lord gave me strength to go on. And I was somewhere that day. I worked for the road service. And I found myself on a little country road away outside Macrofelt. And it was with two colleagues. One colleague was about a quarter of a mile behind. Another colleague was about a quarter of a mile ahead. And just giving you an indication. I want to tell you a story to give you an indication of how the Lord encourages us, strengthens us, and reminds us that He will never leave us nor forsake us in all of life's struggles. When I went that day, and I remember being on my own, I was deep in my thoughts as I was walking down that road doing my work, and I was startled by a young man coming from behind and approached me from behind, and I turned around and I recognised his face. I didn't know his name. I recognised his face because he was a local lorry driver. And I says, "How are you, friend?" And I says, "You're not working." He says, "No, I'm not." He says, "I'm not, haven't been well." And I says, "What's the problem?" He says, "I've been off with depression," he says, "since my mother died a few months ago." I says, "I'm sorry, I didn't know that." He says, "And also," he says, "I lost my brother 2.5 years ago. He committed suicide." As a result of this, we got talking. And he says to me, he says, "He knew my name." He says, "Alfie, you lost your wife." I says, "I did." And then he says, "And you're a Christian." I says, "I am." It's amazing, friends, how the day started out. I did not want to face the world that day. But the Lord took me and gave me strength that day to go on. And there was I sharing with a young man who I didn't even know his name. Out on a country road in the middle of nowhere, telling him about his need of the Saviour. And the Lord encouraging me and lifting me and helping me. And that young man stood in the middle of the road that day crying before me. Two grown men crying. But you know, friends, God is good. I know that Lorraine is at home with the Lord. It is hard and will be hard without her. But she was saved. And someday, we as a family know that we'll all be together. But I would ask the question tonight, folks. You know, I'm pretty sure they're unsaved in here tonight. Are you ready? I remember a Roman Catholic friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, who, like myself, refuses to accept my invitations to go to gospel missions or anything else. He's been a good friend of mine over the years. We've had many talks about the things of God. He came to me and he says, "Alfie, you quoted to me a verse of scripture many times over the years." He didn't know the exact words, but the verse that it was, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." That's true, friends. We didn't know that morning that Lorraine left the house that she wouldn't be coming back that evening with us. Preacher said recently, he says, that you put on your shoes in the morning, you don't know who's taking them off. That's true. The only item of clothing I brought back that day was Lorraine's shoes. That's very true. I would ask the question, are you ready? Are you saved? And if not, just trust the Lord. The Lord is everything that I need. He is my help. He is my strength. He is my shield. He is my guide. That's all I need, friends. You know, when I think about it, when I look back, whenever I get saved, I'm sorry, brother, if I'm going on too long here. I look back whenever I get saved and I think about my situation at Glentoran Football Club. As a young fella, all the popularity and all the adulation of the fans and everything else, when I think about that, whenever I was under conviction of sin, whenever my heart was broken over my sin, whenever I could go nowhere else, there was not one person could help me. There was not one person could help me with my sin but the Lord. No one. I couldn't cry unto man. No man could help me. No man that I could go to. I could have sought out the advice of men, but no one could take away the burden. No one could cleanse me. No one could heal this broken heart. Only the Lord. And likewise, I found that in my life. In life's crises and life's problems, even, yes, us a believer, it's the Saviour we need. And I'll need him tomorrow. And I'll need him in whatever days he gives me. From here on in. And I'm just keeping trusting, like my family, the wider family circle. It was an awful blow. But it was a blow, friends, that we as believers know. The Word of God says, the man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Many times I ask that question. when you're looking at your own life and your own family and things are going so well, what is this trouble? Trouble comes. Trouble will come. Trouble will come again for us. I don't know what shape or form, but we have the Lord. We have the Savior. And that's all, folks, that you need. And I would just, as I finish tonight, thank you for your attentiveness and just simply urge those out of Christ, trust Him. He's everything you need. He's all that you need. And He is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Amen.